It's a cool story, the story of David. And David is anointed king. And present king, King Saul, has basically gone mad because God's judgment was upon him because he disobeyed God. Can I tell you, when you disobey God, it has consequences. Even in our season of grace, disobedience always has consequences. Yeah. And in 1 Samuel, we'll just begin reading here. They go and select David to play the harp or the lyre for King Saul. All right? So we're going to begin reading there. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me David, your son, who is with the sheep." You know what's amazing to me is even the king knew where they kept David. With the sheep. You remember when Saul, when Samuel shows up to anoint David, anoint somebody in Jesse's house, all the brothers are there except David. David's out tending sheep. Even Saul knows he's tending sheep. Jesse took a donkey laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a young goat, and he sent them with his son David to Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." It happened that when the evil spirit from God, boy, that'll mess your theology up. The evil spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take the lyre in his hand and play. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Lord, I just ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit to help us today. Be prepared and to know. We need you, Lord. Speak to our hearts today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This past week, I got an offer on this building from another church. You should be aware of that. So tomorrow, I'll sit down at a table tomorrow afternoon with some people and talk about that offer. And I need you to pray. Amen. And then on Tuesday this week, we're showing the property to another person that's interested. So I just want you to be aware of that and pray. Tomorrow night, 6:30 on Monday night, we'll be praying. And if you want to know how Monday afternoon went, you should be here tomorrow night. Because we're going to pray. Amen? Yeah. In chapter 16, David is anointed king. He's anointed king. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, when God declares his purpose, when God declares what he's about to do in your life, Samuel shows up, and he's the man of God for the hour. He dumps that oil over your head in front of all your brothers who didn't even, and even your dad who didn't even consider you worthy enough to be in the room when Samuel showed up. And there's something that gets a hold of you, you know, like, oh, see dad, see brothers. And then you go play in the harp. This is not what David had in mind. I don't know about you, but it's not what I had in mind. When I started my first church and then had to go to work at a marine place to fix boat motors to provide for the ministry. You know, sometimes you feel like you're going backwards to get to where God wants you to be. And I don't know about you, but I just have this idea, this thing that David had a dream. The purpose of God was determined by Samuel and it was confirmed. And David's family is in shock, and Jesse never considered David when Samuel showed up. People may not even consider you either. But God has a plan, and God has a purpose. I'll never forget, man, when God started dealing with me about going into the ministry, and some of my home church people just kind of said, what? Really? I really, no, not that kid. There's no way. You see, people may not consider you either, but don't forget who your Heavenly Father is. You see, the future treatment of David's brother demonstrated their attitude toward their younger brother. Remember when there's a giant in the valley and David shows up with some replenishment for his brothers, and his brothers basically curse him out for being there. You're supposed to be back at the sheep. You're supposed to be doing this. What are you doing here for? Why? Because they didn't care for him. Some of the historical Jewish commentators say, the brothers and the father wish David was dead and eaten by a lion and a bear tending sheep than to be a part of the family. Ew. For some reason, he didn't have much of a place at the table. Can I tell you? God's table is the one that matters. Amen. Now, David had a reputation, because when they're looking for someone to take care of King Saul and his evil torment, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 17, it says this, and Saul said to his servants, find me a man who can play well and bring him to me. And one of the servants answered and said, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is experienced in playing music, a mighty man of valor, a man of battle, and skillful in words, even a man of fine appearance, and the Lord is with him. Can I tell you, that's a good reputation. And you need to make sure that in the midst of whatever and whoever disgraces you and dishonors you or whatever, you maintain your reputation. And only you can maintain your reputation. So they picked the guy who was anointed to be king to play the harp for the crazy king. Make me a warrior, make me somebody. Playing the harp for a crazy man? I don't know about you, but I don't. It's not what I have in mind. What did David do? He didn't do anything. He just received what was set before him. He took in what was happening. He took the moment and said nothing. Good lesson for all of us. He just did it. You see, listen, when you are anointed for God's purpose, you can expect the course of your life to march toward his destiny. His purpose. And for David, it was the anointing of king. He was marching toward that, even though he didn't understand the steps, the pathway, the mark. And somehow he ends up playing a harp before a king who's gone crazy. Yeah. You may end up in places you may not even think and can't figure out why in the world you're even here. It can make you question what's going on. You ever been there? Yes. Chapter 17, he's playing music for a mad Saul. Anointed king, and now you find yourself playing music. This is not how it's supposed to be happening. Anybody ever said that? Yeah. I thought I could leave this harp with my father's house and with the sheep. But David, he's willing to serve wherever he's needed. There's a good lesson in there for us. Well, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. David just did it. He just did it. You see, a quality of leadership needed in our generation is just serve. Just serve. Pick up things that need to be picked up. Don't complain about, hey, someone should have picked that up. it. Be a servant. David was willing to do the small thing of insignificance. How many in this room can remember David for playing the harp? No, we remember him as king. But the pathway to the throne was something insignificant. I don't know about you, but I don't know if it's the selfie you want to share. Playing the harp for a crazy king. I'm sure there are days when you never play. What am I doing here? I'm sure there are days when you play a lot. I'm sure there are many think it's beneath my dignity to be here. I've been anointed king. But David played. You see, if you're not careful, you can get stuck in this attitude is, this is not what I'm called to do. I deserve better than this. Yeah. Maybe you're stuck with the wrong attitude. The question then becomes is, how do you get unstuck? Listen, I know what it is to be stuck with the wrong attitude. That can hurt you in a bad way. Two things you gotta do. Number one, you gotta control the externals. And the second thing, you better control the internals. You gotta begin to control the externals by this. Control, surround yourself with positive people. Surround yourself with positive music. Surround yourself with positive movies. Surround yourself with positive books. I'm telling you, it will change the way you think if you begin to surround yourself with the right people with the right attitude. It'll change yours. Attitudes are contagious. And sometimes you need to shake the dust off your feet from certain attitudes and certain people who have certain attitudes and move on so that you can be liberated for the destiny that God has for you. Because you can get stuck. The other thing you need to do in the midst of surrounding yourself with some good stuff is start serving somebody. Start serving somebody who needs your help. The second part of that is the internal makeup of your life and the things that can change your attitude. And number one is pray. Can I tell you, God's not afraid of your attitude? I don't know about you, but there have been times when I had to tell God, I'm mad at you. You ever been mad at God? Huh? God knows you're mad at him. Don't be afraid to tell him what's on your heart. He has a way of dealing with you when you are totally bare with him. Yeah. Pray. The other thing you got to do internally is to worship him. To worship him. Study and read the scripture. And the other thing you need to do is rest. Take a nap. It'll do something for your attitude. See? Here's the thing that has to happen in the midst of this era. You have to change the storyline in your head. Because you began to repeat the record over and over again. I'm worthless. You repeat, I'm a failure. You began to repeat that storyline over and over again. And somewhere along the line, to get unstuck, you got to play a different message. I'm the child of the king. Hallelujah. He has destined me to be his son. Hallelujah. He has made me so that his favor can rest over my life. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you what, his favor rests over my life. How many of you love all this rain? Glory to God. I'm going to tell you why this rain's happening. Because I got a yard that needs rain. I just laid a bunch of sod on my yard. And it's raining because God's favor's on Larry Perry. You can believe what you want, but I'm going to tell you, God's favor is upon me. Huh? I go to Sri Lanka. I go to Sri Lanka. It's the rainy season, right? It's the rainy season. Then listen. I don't care, year round, it's 95 degrees and 85% humidity all the time. They sweat like crazy. Pastor Kyle was telling me all about it. I go to Sri Lanka and it's rainy season. The sun comes out and the wind blows about 20 miles an hour and everybody around me has their parkas on. God did that for me. I don't care what you say. Listen, God will take care of the little things. That's right. And sometimes you better change the storyline that's going on in your mind. And God will help you do that. Because here's the deal. If there's blame involved in the storyline in your head, stop the blaming. If there's regret involved in the storyline, stop the regret. Stop the replay. If there's failure involved, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Huh? Forgive yourself. Now, here's the real question. What did playing the harp have to do with a king? Being a king? I don't know. Sometimes God moves us backwards instead of forwards. But I'm going to tell you, everything that God does has a purpose. And sometimes we just scratch our head and we can't put it all together and you're wondering, why in the world is this happening to me? I'll tell you why, because God's preparing you for his purpose, his plan, his destiny for your life. Stop fighting the backward steps that he takes you on. Not many amens there. Because he does. Here David is, anointed king, and now he's playing a harp for a madman. I tell you what, maybe God's trying to teach David in the court of the king how to be a king. He's watching how a king works in his right mind. He's watching how people treat the king and how the king ought to return. Can I tell you, David is learning how to be a king by playing a harp? Sometimes some of you, some of us need to learn how to work hard before we get to that place, that destiny God has for us. Because listen to me, if you're going to accomplish what God wants, it's going to come with a lot of sweat equity. Huh? Now, our problem is we see instant success everywhere around us. And we think, man, they got it easy. Man, it just happened for them. No, they got there because they worked hard. Yes, they had talent. But listen, talent without a work ethic will get you nowhere. Huh? Yeah. God putting David in the king's court so he could learn how to be king, so he could see how the king does business. And you know what? Maybe God is trying to help David meet the right people. Can I tell you, relationships are important along the journey. You're not going to get to God's purpose and plan without some people coming alongside you to help you. And for David, it happened. Listen, sometimes God places you on the shelf to meet the next person to take you to the next place. Joseph met that person, set him up. He was in jail. And one of the king's guys comes, tell me the dream. Wow. And it happened. I'm going to remember you. And when he got to the king's place, what did he do? Forgot him. Listen to me. He met the person when he was down and out. And the next thing you know, I remember a guy. And the next thing you know, Joseph is Pharaoh's right-hand man. There is nothing in God's economy that's a mistake. Amen. See, the problem is some people shut down when they don't seem to be going in the right direction of their purpose, and they miss the relationships that God has to take them to the place he has for them. They get stuck. Listen, don't shut down. Keep learning. Grow in wisdom. Keep being a friend. Grow in relationships. Keep seeking God. Grow in your knowledge and understanding of God. And look who God brought into David's life. Listen to this. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. And when he had finished speaking to Saul, that is David. When David had finished speaking to Saul after the death of Goliath, the soul of Jonathan was bound to the soul of David, so that Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not permit him to return home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. So Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, even his garments and his sword and his bow and his belt. Man. David found a friend in Jonathan like no other friend. And that friendship set him up to become the king. Listen, everybody in your life is important. Everybody is in your life. David found a friend, Jonathan. Listen to what it says. They were bound to the soul. He was bound to the soul of David. Loved him as himself. Gave his robe, his sword, his belt to David, a sign of position Jonathan had in the king's court. He was willing to surrender it all for David. Wow. Just think of for a moment if David would have just shut down. If David would have said, why am I here? What's the purpose of this? I quit. He'd have never learned. He'd have never had Jonathan. He'd have never made it to where God had for him. Don't sell the steps out that God has you on. It may disqualify you from where he has you to go. The question then becomes, why in the world would David and Jonathan just knit together? I mean, here apparently you're just two young men, and why do they become so close, so quick? You know what I think it is? I think it has something to do with their fathers. I mean, think about it. Samuel shows up and he says to Jesse, I'm going to anoint one of your sons as king. And the only son not at the table is David. I don't know about you, but if you're Jonathan, your dad is so busy about having the right image, being the right kind of king, doing all these exploits, getting ahead of God and all that other stuff. I don't know about you, but if you're Jonathan, you're probably overlooked. Two dads who failed to be dads, but they found something in one another. Sometimes you need a friend to overcome fathers. Here's the beauty of it. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And his name is Jesus. See, the problem with is too many young men are stuck because of the behavior of their fathers. And now they are as angry at their dads. And they'll never move toward their purpose until something is healed in them that only the Heavenly Father can heal. Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. A man who has friends must show himself friendly. I don't like this church, no friendly. Well, can I tell you something? if you get here 5 minutes after church and leave right after, you're not going to have any friends. You're just not. You don't make friends by running. I mean, you make excuses of why you don't want to be a part of a church and why you don't want to be a part of a church. Because after all, I'm telling you, man, you know, to have friends means they got to put up with you. You know, it's easier not to have anybody around to tell me what it's just easier to live isolated. But you die lonely. And God never intended us to live alone. Marco hit it earlier. The number 10 cause of death in America today is suicide. Think about that. The most affluent nation in the world, and people can't live with themselves. There's a world out there that needs you, and they need a friend. Listen, a man who has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Man alive, his name is Jesus. And Jesus can help you. Jesus can heal you. Jesus can be more than Jonathan was for David. Jesus can be. Hallelujah. And let's just recap. Can I tell you, God's purpose may surprise some people when God selects you. I know several people who never would have thought that I should have been or ever could have been and never could have been a pastor or even called by God. See, there's some people who will never believe in you. But there is a Jesus who does. Yeah. God's plan may come to pass through some detours. And if you find yourself stuck, there are some sometimes you can only help yourself. Detours can teach us some things to prepare for God's purpose, so don't shut down. Look for the relationships God has for you to fulfill your purpose. Listen to me. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. Would you stand with me, please? Why don't you just bow your heads in his presence right now? Some of you, things aren't working the way you think they ought to be working, and God kind of has you on a detour. Matter of fact, I would say boldly that God has you on a detour, and God just wants you to rest in him. Let him teach you what he needs to teach you. It's not a mistake why you find yourself where you are right now. You can bow up, you can resist, you can do everything you want to, but I'm gonna tell you something. God's doing this to temper your heart and help you trust him with what you can't control. Here's the other thing I know. Some of you had daddies, fathers, who didn't do well. You were cheated. There is a friend who knows how to heal that. And his name is Jesus. Only Jesus can restore a heavenly Father in your life. Jesus. Jesus. I need you, Jesus. You just sense God working in your life, the Holy Spirit just stirring something inside of you, something. Would you just quietly make your way down to the front right now? Would you just quietly just walk your way down here and just stand in His presence right now? Just come and stand in His presence.